either two sides of the coin is attachment to a concept or a way of operating. And the other side of that same coin is false ego. It's deriving a sense of self-importance based on that concept. And the false ego supports the concept, and the concept makes up our false ego. We're attached. We don't want to let go. So here comes some, although I recognize that I'm not happy, and I recognize that I need shelter and protection. That's why I'm making the inquiry. But at the same time, I'm attached. That's operating in the medium of false ego. So selective hearing is going to be there. Something that soothes and strokes very nicely my false ego. Oh, that, I like that one. And something that pulls at the root of false ego. Ouch! I don't know about that one. I want to be happy, but I also want to be comfortable. Pinching my false ego makes me uncomfortable. So, then one has to, so your question is how to one way of answering this is, first is so that those attachments and operating through false ego, they're like filters. Clean the filter. And ultimately just remove the filter. But we maybe just can't, or unwilling, we won't remove altogether false ego and our material attachments. We need to cleanse them, purify them, gradual way. So that's hearing in a submissive manner. And if through hearing, even through our filters, we hear something that we do accept, and we act on that which we do accept, we'll get some realization, which gives us some confidence to go forward in the hearing process and accept and then act upon some other things that we didn't initially, we were a little reluctant to accept and act upon. It's also helpful, I tried in a simple way to present this, but it's very helpful to be honest with ourselves and say, actually, knowledge that I, material knowledge that I have, although I'm very proud of it, because due to my false ego, the fact of the matter is, I'm very, very far from where I want to be. In a relative sense, persons may appreciate me or something like, or I may think highly of myself. The fact of the matter is I'm very, very far away from where I want to be. And that feeling of contentment, that's also just my false ego. So by some common sense analysis, I can try to minimize the selective hearing. What I really need to do is I need to go forward, not just tread or run in place. I need to go forward. So I have to let go of some of this stuff. I have to be a little adventuresome, a little bold, a little acting with faith. Maybe some of the territory is unknown, but I'm willing to do that because I have confidence in the source. And I really want that. The first thing is I really want to be situated in that loving relationship with Krishna and have faith in the source of knowledge. So when the knowledge is presented with those other thoughts, I can accept more than what my filters might otherwise permit me to. That's part of cleaning the filters. And mentally just question was, how can we distinguish in the beginning from a pure source and what is not a pure source? Part of the answer I'll give, I'll just refer to something Prabhupada said. In an assembly, something like this, Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavad Gita class, and one of the students in the class blurted out, "Prabhupada, how do we know who is a bona fide spiritual master?" Right in the middle of the class. It was like, it seemed like it was just like burning inside, and he couldn't wait to questions and answers. He just exploded. Was feeling it with such strength. So Prabhupada stopped the class and addressed his question and said, there has to be some preliminary understanding what a spiritual master is. He gave an example, very humorous example. He said, if you want to buy a diamond, you don't go to a pottery shop. It has to have some preliminary sense of what a diamond is. I thought he was going to say, you don't go to a place where they're selling cut glass. You have to know the difference between a diamond and a cut glass, but it was even more gross, just, you don't go to a pottery shop. Then he said that it's the responsibility of each person who wants to take shelter of a spiritual master, find a spiritual master, to have some basic understanding of what it is that you're looking for. Because you could go to the pottery shop and they'll sell you a pot and say it's a diamond. You don't know. Or very easy to be misled and cheated. So there, so some preliminary research on the subject. And then another is, so based on the preliminary research on the subject, one thing that we know is that, let's say, a diamond is very hard enough even it can cut glass. So you take the diamond and scratch it across some glass and see if it cuts the glass. Or if a diamond breaks? Diamonds have certain qualities, and spiritual teachers should have certain qualities. One of those qualities is humility. So supposing you found a teacher that had very interesting teachings, but was arrogant. I don't think I'll accept those teachings just on that principle. Most likely all of us have been through this process, maybe not so consciously, but we've all been through this process. There's some things that may sound interesting, and I don't know what other words to use, you know, fascinating, deep, awesome, whatever. But if they're not supported by Scripture, we can't accept them. Another is, it's very clear from Bhagavad Gita that we need to receive knowledge even from a person, whether the person is a good orator or not. The knowledge needs to be coming in disciplic succession. Very, very important. And so, in some things, Prabhupada also indicated like this, not in this particular context, but some things require a little common sense. Like a little common sense will tell you, if someone says, you pay me $35 and you become God, just chant this mantra and you become God, a little common sense says there's something wrong with this. I had some experience with a person who I thought, let's do a capsule. At a certain point I was deciding between one teacher and his teachings and Prabhupada and his teachings. And I went to this teacher and said, in Krishna consciousness, I like Krishna consciousness and I like your teachings, and I'm having difficulty deciding between Krishna consciousness and your teachings. Please help me in this dilemma. He closed his eyes, got real mystical, and then said, you do what you have to do. Do what you feel is right. And I said, I didn't say, but I was thinking, supposing my conviction was pull out a weapon and destroy you. Act according to what my conviction is. I mean, his language wasn't exactly do what you feel is right. He said, you have to follow your path. That was it. That was what he said. You have to follow your path. Supposing my path is to blast you. And, you know, some people think that that's their path. Some people in this world that think that's what real religion is. You worship this way, and anybody else, you blast them. And that's religion. That's the best, highest expression of religion. Persons think that way. Some persons think that way. So I said, I'm not sure Krishna consciousness is right, but I reject this. It was impersonalism. Yato mat tato pat. It's impersonalism. Fundamentally, it's just common sense. It doesn't make sense. So I said, thank you very much. I'll think about this, and walked away. That was it. Back to the temple. In Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he describes the process of the unfolding of the material elements. Sarga, it's called in Sanskrit. The primary creation from the unmanifested sum total material ingredients by the glancing of Mahavishnu. The ingredients differentiate, and then one by one they begin manifesting. It describes it. It's very, very interesting. And when the element of intelligence manifests, intelligence manifests by false ego coming in contact with the mode of passion, intelligence manifests. And one of the things, there's about eight characteristics of intelligence. And one of the characteristics of intelligence is doubt. It's a sign of intelligence. So Prabhupada explains, doubt as a sign of intelligence means when something is presented that is not in resonance with the absolute truth, intelligence will discern that out of resonance by some doubt. Said, but it's not appropriate when that teaching is in resonance with the absolute that one is held from it by doubt. Rather, that doubt is overcome. And that's a sign of intelligence. Those are some answers to address that question. At least one has to be circumspect, meaning you have to be careful. Look before you leap. Don't be impulsive, even with Krishna consciousness. Blind acceptance is not recommended. Very carefully consider before accepting. So look at, study from many different angles. Because when that acceptance is concluded, it's hard, you know, your one's position is more secure. If someone comes along and challenges, why do you have this point of view? Well, I heard it in class. Why do you believe just what you heard in class? Here's another one. Here's a class. Here's another point of view. Why not accept this other point of view? In the course of my travels, I came across someone who had that experience. They're trained, nicely trained, but they encountered someone who was not even an acharya, but just a learned person from another sampradaya, and the other person was in a very aggressive, challenging mood. Why do you accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead? Well, And they gave their explanation, and he barked again. That's the wrong understanding. You should understand like this. Bark, 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 bark. So they came whimpering. Maharaj, Maharaj. They said this and said this. And not like I believed the other option, but I was able... And, you know, part of it was just the person was an intellectual bully. Because as soon as they said something, he said, don't contradict me. How long have you been practicing Krishna consciousness? I've been practicing my tradition for 30 years. So you can't say anything. And why ask me? Why do you accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead? And anything I say you're not going to accept because I'm practicing less than you. It's just common sense. You know, they have some intellectual skill and they're being very abusive and hitting you with it. Pow, pow, pow. And don't say anything when I pow you either. See you later. I'd be glad to discuss with a reasonable person, but not with you. So right away, someone that they're learned and eloquent speaker, but quite unreasonable and far from humble. Whatever that person has to say, I can't accept it. Your question specifically is, by what means do we use in the beginning? So they're to discriminate or understand this is a correct source to hear from, a bona fide source to hear from. That principle, when it's applied in other stages, may take different shapes and forms. Like, for, let's say, at a high stage, a Paramahamsa can learn, just like there's descriptions in the Bhagavatam of elevated devotees, forget the number, having 21 spiritual masters, and, you know, different animals in nature serve as their spiritual master because they're teaching certain lessons of life. One can learn, even from manifestations of nature, creatures of nature. If one understands God is instructing me and I'm guided by Scripture, and these understand, and not just speculating wildly, but guided by Scripture. One has to have that eligibility. You're tired too? Okay. Yeah.
I feel that when I accepted this process, I did not consciously evaluate stage by stage.
Yeah.
So now I feel weak in basic areas like revelation, faith, and gratitude. So
yeah.
How should I?
Well, go back and redo the work that you didn't do initially. And the fact that you didn't is not uncommon. And it's not something that's like bad. Like, you know, you got a bad mark on your report card because you didn't do it. But it's something that you and each one of us needs to do. And actually, it's something that's good to do. I was discussing this with one devotee recently. It's good to do periodically, regularly. Why is that? It's because our realizations are deepening all the time. Whatever tools we had to work with 6 months ago or 1 year ago, those tools need reworking, and our realizations have become more deep and our understandings more complete, and so it's good to kind of hit the refresh button or uninstall all your programs and reinstall them again. Not just like, you know, for something to do, but so that you're approaching Krishna consciousness in a refreshed mood and with clearer understandings and deeper realizations. And the other way is kind of lazy. So, I don't want to do all that work. A lot of work. But it's good to periodically do that. So, when I first started taking up Krishna consciousness, this is what I had in my mind. Now, I have some realizations that it was a nice idea, but it was kind of immature, and certain misconceptions and certain naiveties. But now I want to rededicate myself to Krishna consciousness with clearer conceptions and deeper motivations and with stronger, redoubled conviction. That's good. And I've seen that sometimes when devotees don't do that just of their own initiative, Krishna will sometimes bonk them on the head, put them in some difficulty, so that they have to do that. Sometimes that happens. Yes. One reason is that pride is getting in the way every day. What's that one reason? How do we do what? How do we become convinced that what is getting added every day?
Pride.
Getting out of the way or getting in the way? Well, we all know what that number's about. Here's a very simple one. The person who is free from pride will feel that they're filled with pride. In other words, the person who is free from pride will be very humble. And they'll not only give lip service to that, "Oh Prabhu, you know me, I'm just so proud." Waiting for the person to say, "Oh, you're so humble." And when they don't say that, we get agitated. But when we actually feel humble and we act humbly, not just speak something humble, then we know that we're free from pride. And if that's not the case, the beast is still there. The beast known as pride. And practically speaking, we can assume it's there. It's a given. We're not at very high stages of devotion. It's a given it's there. It's practically speaking the last thing to go. It's the most subtle of all material elements, and it's the last thing to go. It's the first thing to appear, and it's the last thing to disappear. You can assume it's there. Yeah, exactly. Know that it's there and watch out. Be on the alert. Eating, sleeping, meeting, ascending are not
provided comfortably.
They are provided?
Comfortably.
Okay.
So I never pray to the Lord unless physically told to do so. So how do I pray deeply in a mood of service?
I got the last part. How do I pray deeply in the mode of service? And the middle part I missed.
Because the impetus is not strongly there due to...
Because the impetus is not strong. Well, you've just answered your question. Same as this, you know, if something is not what it should be, you trace out. Where is it coming from? Impetus is not strong. So attend to making the impetus strong. One of the main things is we're lazy. Mandaksa, manda matayo, manda bhagya, yupadrata, we're just lazy. Tomorrow. Or maybe the day after tomorrow. I've got a lot to do. We're lazy. And the thing is, it's habitual. Once acting in a lazy way, it becomes easy to do it the next day and the next day, and it just becomes part of how we do things. We're just lazy. Spiritual life is not going to be successful for those who are lazy. We can maintain more or less, but to be successful in spiritual life, it can't be lazy. Impetus. I really want my relationship with Krishna to be the most prominent thing in my life. I want that. And I'm prepared to do what it takes. And if sending in a disconnect notice to the lazy department is what I have to do, I'll do it. No more laziness. Well, that's a big sacrifice, but I'll do it. No more laziness. And instead, utsahan. Okay, there's an instruction. Rupa Goswami says, I should be enthusiastic. Okay. No more laziness, enthusiastic instead. Enthusiastic for the right things, not enthusiastic for sense gratification. Something?
Sometimes we have to do something.
And at that time, what happened?